the first 2 hours today is Patrick M. Wood. His website is technocracy.news. And we're talking about a lot of really awful things that are happening. And we do like having these gadgets and these networks set up in our home, although most of my stuff is hardwired. But people like gadgets. They like immediate gratification. And I don't know when we became, I think back in the 60s, I think there were a lot of people when charge cards first became available, people, we'll just charge it. And all of a sudden, the people typically became, they wanted instant gratification. Nobody saved anymore for what they wanted. And so we've changed, our culture has been changed by our own weaknesses. Would you agree with that or no?
Well, it has. I know the gadgets have been distracting for sure, and it's also, to many people, it's addicting. Game playing is addicting, and just the internet in general is addicting. It's been proven now by psychiatrists all around the world. In fact, there's addiction centers that have been started all around. There's several in America for people who get addicted to the internet or to gaming or pornography. But what we're talking about with technocracy goes far beyond just gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about the economy. It's about the economic system of the world. America was made great by our system of capitalism and free enterprise. Yes, it has problems. It does, admittedly. But free enterprise is the only economic system that the world has ever known, and it does just fine. It's a price-based economic system. Sustainable development wants to throw that out. You've seen in the news, as I'm sure all of your listeners have seen in the news now, about the so-called Green New Deal. That's been proposed by several progressive Democrats who people are calling socialists. It's really not socialism, but the Green New Deal is right out of the technocracy playbook from the 1930s. It's technocracy. It's not socialism. It's not communism. It's technocracy. It's about flipping the economic system away from being a price-based economic system into being a resource-based economic system. And they are totally different. They're like matter and antimatter. They're two different things.
Okay.
The UN has sworn to overthrow capitalism and free enterprise, and nobody really gets this. This is why the distractors are there, to keep people from seeing it, which gets me so upset, because people can't see it or won't. In some cases, they just won't. But in the case, for instance, of Elaine Chao, we won't even talk about why Trump appointed Elaine Chao. But she is, she was born in China. She came to the United States at an early age with her parents. Her father founded Foremost Shipping, which became today one of the largest shipping companies in the world, where his flagships are all made in China.
Mm.
A very powerful man, and very much involved in infrastructure, if you will, quote unquote, because he's got a huge shipping company.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine's sister is on the board of directors of China Bank.
Wow.
One of the largest banks in the entire world, and is based in China and has very strong ties to the Chinese government. Now, Elaine Chao is the Secretary of Transportation in charge of infrastructure. And she's all, we're going to do a $10 trillion plan to renew America's infrastructure. And the question you have to ask, at least I ask, okay, what infrastructure are we talking about here, Mrs. Chao? Are we talking about infrastructure for your precious supply chain? Or are we talking about infrastructure for the American people? It's two different things. And so we look a little bit back in history to get an idea of where she's come from. Do you remember the Trans-Texas Corridor?
Yes.
From several years ago?
Yes, that was a big deal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right. It was a big deal. And they tried to build a super freeway from Mexico all the way up to Kansas City.
Right.
Through Texas and through Oklahoma, and they got turned around at the Oklahoma border, who said, you just make one of them thar Texas U-turns and go back where you came from. And that pretty much killed it. Thank you, Oklahoma. But this was all about offloading transport containers down in Mexico at a deep water port, putting them on trains, which they do, and highballing those trains right through the American border, all outfitted with electronic chips to upload the inventory of those containers as they zoomed through the border. And the trains were supposed to go straight up to Kansas City, and then they would be unpacked and redistributed around the world, whatever, around our country, and some of it would go up to Canada. That was the Trans-Texas Corridor. And that was part of the so-called North American Union, right, where Mexico and Canada and the United States were going to become one big, I don't know, whatever, union.
Right.
Like Europe.
Right.
Well.
Right. And yes.
Yes. Now, okay, so here's the person in charge of that infrastructure project that was going to make the Trans-Texas Corridor possible and all that transportation stuff possible. It was the assistant or deputy whatever in the transportation department, Elaine Chao. That was her. And so this is back with, you know, back with W, right?
Right.
And so this is the same Elaine Chao that now is Secretary of Transportation. Is she a globalist?
Oh, it's probably just a coincidence, right?
It's just a coincidence, right. So here we have, again, we have the foxes guarding the hen house. And she has committed already, she said this openly, she's going to rework America's infrastructure, and she's going to use public-private partnerships to do it. Now, public-private partnerships are an invention of the United Nations, according to sustainable development. It's a means of finance of projects that are, you know, for sustainable development.
Right.
So the government, the U.S. government, Trump said he's going to put up $1 trillion, he said, eventually. The other $9 trillion is going to come from private investments in the form of public-private partnerships. So basically, she's going to sell America's important infrastructure to private corporations. And guess which, I mean, you could just guess which ones that's going to be, ones that service the supply chain.
Right.
Right. So yeah, they're going to build the supply, they're going to build an infrastructure, all right, but it's going to serve the global supply chain, not the American people. This is kind of a blatant example, but it's a good one because everybody understands the potholes out there probably had to pay alignment fees and, you know, brake fees to get their brakes fixed and flat tires and whatever. Everybody understands potholes. Well, guess what? Your pothole ain't going to get fixed, not unless it's on some major superhighway somewhere or on some, you know, train track or whatever that's got, you know, that they're going to, you know, upgrade to carry the, you know, all the supply chain materials back and forth across the country. So
that they don't fix the roads to the point that there are potholes should be an indication of the real problem is that the roads are falling apart and they're not being fixed. The potholes are just the evidence.
That's right.
And that's the result of them not taking care of these insignificant roads that just the regular people use.
That's
because
right.
They're not part of the grid, right? They're not part of this the private privatization.
That's right. They have their master, for instance, they have their master map of all the roads and the trains and whatever that they want to have implemented for themselves. All the money's going into those projects. There's not going to be anything but chicken feed going anywhere else.
What does this say about Trump, the fact that he appointed her?
I don't know yet. I wish I could tell you. I really don't know. On one hand, we could say, well, he's just ignorant. He just doesn't know.
How come he knows some things and or
I know. I realize that there's lots of questions around this, and I questioned even before Trump was elected.
Oh, so did I.
Was he a technocrat? You know, at heart.
Right.
And I'm not still, even today, even though I'm glad he's doing border stuff and other things, you know, and sometimes you just got to cheer some of the things he says because he's slapping people in the face that need to be slapped in the face. But when you get right down to it, he's basically a Mr. Fix-It. And yes. Just, you know, just fix it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix everything, he says. And this is kind of the mind of a technocrat, a fixer.
Yeah.
They kind of cut through the political nonsense and they just fix things. And he seems to be a pretty capable fixer, and he is. And so,
but if you look at the composition of the people at the cabinet, and then you really have to ask, is he really fixing anything, or is he just implementing previous agendas?
Well, that's right. Something like Elaine Chao. If you just look at transportation, example, transportation now is under the control of the globalists in our country. It's under the control of the globalists, and they are dedicated to sustainable development, 100%. And so you can ask the question, okay, will this help the economy? Will this help the environment? And we just answered that question in the last hour. No, it won't.
Right.
It will destroy. It'll end up destroying things rather than making them better.
Indeed.
Yeah. And there's other examples we could point to as well. The new attorney general that just got confirmed, very disturbing that he is very pro-surveillance of the American people.
Right.
I don't like that. That's a facet or a tentacle of technocracy, surveillance is.
Right. And
that's very dangerous.
This is going right along with previous agendas when they decided that everybody had to have this a certain TV or television set, and even paid people to upgrade their television sets. And why is that? So that they could, watch us while we're watching whatever people are watching on TV?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So there's lots of examples like that of, you know, how technocracy continues to advance. And wherever Trump is on this, and I honestly just don't know. I'm not going to give a real definitive answer. I don't love him. I don't hate him. I just, you know, I look at him and I scratch my head. So I don't know. We'll figure it out sooner or later. But in the meantime, technocracy is marching forward. And what I don't like about Washington, D.C. right now is that it's all about, Look at me. You know, everybody's saying that. It doesn't matter who they are. Whatever personality comes on the screen, whether it's that crazy lawyer Avenatti that, you know, defended the porn star, or whether it's Trump, or whether it's, you know, Kelly, what's her face, or anybody. I mean, all of them. It's Nancy Pelosi. It's all look at me. Look at me. Look at me. They want you to look at them. I mean, this is the ultimate in narcissism is on the surface of it.
Right.
But you see, every time somebody is tempted to look at them, they've taken their eyes off the real problem that we're talking about. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem with this. Everybody is so riveted by what's going on in Washington.
By the personalities.
They don't see any of what we're talking about, this implementation of sustainable development, Agenda 21, whatever it might be, smart grid, 5G implementation, Internet of Things, you know, all the technocratic advances, what Amazon is doing with all of their facial recognition technology. And they're just like not even watching.
They're distracting us with their little petty arguments.
That's right.
And which really amount to nothing and never get settled or solved or anything else.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's always the Democrats against
the petty. That's right.
The Republicans and all the, but you're right. They don't talk about the issues. They talk about personalities, and that doesn't ever get anything, bring a solution to anything.
No, it doesn't. But it sure does. It sure does muddy the waters. You know, people can't see the bottom of the pond.
Right.
And I've actually, you know, talked to groups where, you know, they listen very attentively about what I have to say about technocracy, and I can give them the full presentation in about an hour. Mm-hmm. And they'll all nod their heads and they'll all agree, and basically at the end of it is, excuse me, I gotta get back to watch Fox News.
or
whatever. You know, I gotta get back to my websites that I watch and yada yada. It's like, oh guys, did you hear what I said?
Right.
did you listen? Did you really get it? Get your eyes off of Washington. Whatever you have to do, you're addicted to it. Get off of it. And by the way, speaking of addiction, anger is the most prevalent emotion, right? That's when you watch TV and you watch all that. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. You get mad. Everybody's shaking their fist at the TV or somebody. Well, anger, come to find out, is addictive.
Well, of course it is.
It's an addiction because it releases hormones. It releases dopamine and serotonin in your brain. A little microdoses, granted, but it does. And every time you get addictive or you get, you know, this behavior started, you can't stop it. And you have to treat it like an addiction. If you're going to get off of it, you have to treat it like an addiction. That means first you got to face it, that you are addicted.
Right. People like to get angry because they feel like they're doing something.
That's right.
If you get angry at the politicians, oh, I'm doing something, when in fact you're not. You're just hurting yourself.
But it makes them feel good. When they walk away from it, when they're all done yelling and screaming and whatever, they walk away, they feel good.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, you know, this is, you can't say this was all planned that way by some human element necessarily, but this is what's happened, and this is the great danger in watching what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. People need to limit their intake and pay attention to what's going on in their own community instead.
Indeed, right.
What a novel idea.
Right. And when you drive by and you see all of these shopping centers that used to have shops and stores in them,
right.
They're vacant, and we already mentioned the potholes and bridges and whatnot. When are those things going to be fixed? And where is the money going that should be going to infrastructure within the states? A lot of it is going to another great big industry is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about, 18.2% of the GPA.
Yeah.
You have to just really question that. Where's all the money going?
That's right. It, by and large, it's gone to line the pockets.
Right.
Of the global corporations that are in charge of the whole process. This is how it's done. And if you go back and look at the national debt and how it's evolved over the decades,
mm-hmm.
not too many people do this. I do it because I have an economic background.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look at the chart of the national debt, and you will see that up until 1973, it was just flatlined at almost a minuscule level.
Mm-hmm.
And starting in 1973, with the implementation of the Trilateral Commission's new international economic order, from that day forward, the national debt started to rise, and it's gone almost vertical on this curve. If you can imagine a curve of a stock or something, it start going up, and then at some point it goes into a bubble, and it just goes straight up for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happened with debt. And it's directly it's cause and effect between the policies that the Trilateral Commission put in place with the Carter administration primarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That have stayed in place all these years. Now we have the new president is outspending President Obama and President Bush together.
Oh, my gosh. And think of what else happened in 1973. Abortion. Roe v. Wade. People aren't important anymore, right? Let's kill them off.
Right. Yep.
Okay, we will be right back, and then we'll take a call from Charles. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back with our guest, Patrick M. Wood. His website is technocracy.news. And let's take Charles in St. Petersburg. Charles, welcome. You have a question? Comment?
He brought up William Barr, the new attorney general. He's a gun grabber, and he was involved with Randy Weaver and Iran-Contra and a bunch of things. It's terrible. I mean, this guy is a new attorney general. Oh, he's a friend of Mueller, too. He's best BFF of Mueller. And this is all about sustainability. We've all been hoodwinked, that's all. You know, Trump is another fake, like the rest of them. It's just Agenda 21, sustainability, megacities, New Deal, where we won't be allowed to have automobiles or anything, or fossil fuels. We've got to reduce the carbon imprint, don't you know? We have so much to sacrifice.
Right.
What's your comment? Technocrats, have you ever read about the technocrats in Europe, the synarchists?
Yes, indeed.
Your guest? in Europe. Henri Caussin, the writer, I had books in French that are untranslated about the synarchies that existed during World War II, the synthesis of all the three systems that existed then, fascism, so-called democracy, and socialist communism. It was a greater synthesis under the technocrat synarchists. I don't know if you ever read them about the École Polytechnique in France. Everybody has to be a polytechnician, a graduate, which is a secret society like Grand Orient Freemasonry. I don't know if you ever heard of them, Polytechnique.
There was a significant element of technocracy in Europe as soon as it was formed in the United States in 1932. It was originally housed here at Columbia University in New York City. And within about a year and a half, there was a unit, a kind of a sister organization, again called Technocracy, that was formed in Germany. And that movement grew over there pretty much throughout Europe, if not with formal chapters, at least with people that subscribed to their magazine. And the articles that got reprinted in German Technocracy movement were the same articles that appeared in the American magazine that they were producing. And
Charles, let the guests.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir, but you should note that the technocrat movement is a creation of Grand Orient Freemasonry. I've studied books like The Rise of the Technocrats. I used to read them down at USF Library. They had a whole section. And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Okay. What are your thoughts on that, Pat?
Well, I haven't found much evidence that there was anything other than the normal, it's not normal, I can't use that word, but what happened at Columbia University had nothing to, as far as I can tell, had nothing directly to do with any particular secret society. These scientists and engineers represented a very small minority of scientists and engineers, but they were very progressive ideologically, and they shunned religion in general. They said they weren't religious, didn't want to be religious. I know that isn't totally true, but that's what they said. And so in my research, I never really found a direct connection between them. Now, that doesn't mean that some of them may not have been involved in any one of those organizations, whether it be Theosophy or the Masons or whatever, but that was never a prominent feature of their study.
Well, I saw a video years ago. It was made in France. It showed about the polytechnicians. They go back to Napoleon, and if you want to be in a business, you have to be a polytechnician. You can't be like in the Anglo-Saxon countries. You have to have a degree. It's a secret society. They in their own right, the polytechnicians, the cold polytechnique.
Okay, well, thank you, Charles. Anyway, I agree with you regarding Columbia and the people behind it here. They've written books about it and have made it very clear what they had in mind. But most people aren't reading those books, correct?
Well, no, they're not. I tried to bring a lot of that stuff into my books. I use them as source material. I have the book, The Rise of the Technocrats, by the way, and read it, used it as a resource material in my first book, Technocracy Rising, mm-hmm. The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And it's in my bibliography as well in that book. So, there have been books over the years that have been written by people who studied technocracy, but in the Rise of the Technocrats, I don't remember seeing anything about any Grand Mason conspiracy or anything like that, or mm-hmm. secret society. I don't know that it was ever a secret society, other than They were told at Columbia by the president of Columbia University to shut up about it after they realized that that one of the founders was a fraud.
Right, that was Butler.
Yeah, that was Butler. That's exactly right. So.
Who had connections with Hearst?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yes. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We are back. Our guest is Patrick M. Wood. His website is technocracy.news. And I want to get back to what happened during the Carter administration. And what a false. Well, he looked like, you know, the guy in the sweater. He was a Sunday school teacher. What kind of harm could he possibly do, right?
Yeah, and he carried a big black Bible, and
yes.
You know, poor old country boy from the South,
right?
A farmer, peanut farmer. I mean, how could a peanut farmer be dangerous?
Oh, very dangerous indeed. All the stuff that he did, and the people that were behind him. Oh,
and
my,
you know,
gosh!
Do you remember his campaign slogan? Everybody has one. Trump had "Make America Great Again," right? That's a campaign slogan.
Right.
What did Obama have? It was, what was the campaign slogan?
Oh, gosh.
Yes, we can. Right?
Yes,
we can.
Yes.
So Jimmy Carter had a campaign slogan, as every president running has always had. His campaign slogan was, this is it. I will never lie to you.
Oh, that's, oh, my gosh.
Can you believe
it? People believed it because he was a Sunday school teacher.
Well, that's right. Yeah. They just thought he was from the outside, just like, kind of like President Trump in a way.
Sure.
You know, he was an outsider. He was just an old country boy going to do good for the country, you know?
Right. Right.
And I'm going to just, you know, he's going to change, you know, kind of put things back together. People believed it.
Right.
Even a lot of Republicans voted for him on that basis.
Right.
So,
look at all the things that happened under his administration.
Well, all he did was lie to us, basically. Yes. Yeah, that's about all he ever did was lie to us. And don't even go into it. I get my blood pressure up now. But I was there, and I observed Jimmy Carter and all the stuff he did, and all the people in his cabinet, because Jimmy Carter was a member, original member of the Trilateral Commission.
Right, he was, yes.
Handpicked by Zbigniew Brzezinski to be president. And
right.
Brzezinski openly wrote about that later, that he was the one that picked Carter out of the pouch.
Yes.
And trained him in order to be up on foreign policy, stuff like that. And then Carter took in Walter Mondale to be his vice president. Mondale was a member of the Trilateral Commission, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing he did was appoint Zbigniew Brzezinski to be his national security advisor. And then they proceeded to fill his cabinet. And at one point, his cabinet had one-third of the American membership, that is, once from the U.S., in his cabinet. All but one person was a member of his cabinet. They were all members of the Trilateral Commission, completely. I mean, it was just clean sweep, as they say. And so they basically took over. This trilateral policy took over our government during the Carter administration.
Mm-hmm.
It was theirs. They had free rein to do anything they want. They almost destroyed the country in 4 short years. But there were more outrageous things that Carter did to disrupt America than any other president before him. It's just mind-boggling, the things that he
right.
did. Like giving away the Panama Canal, for instance.
Right.
Like bringing China back into the global fold.
Right.
Right? It was Brzezinski that was credited with bringing China back into the economic system of the world, and then they turned around and poured hundreds of billions of dollars into China
right.
to build infrastructure and factories. And then, of course, we lost all our a bunch of factories to China over the years.
Right.
It was them. They were the ones that did it, and it was Jimmy Carter who started. He was the guy that snuck up behind Humpty Dumpty as he was sitting on the wall.
Right.
And he pushed him. He was the guy that did it. and everybody looks back and thinks, oh, what a nice man he was. Come on, guys. This guy was the one who started the total destruction of our country to where it is today. And it's like, all members of the Trilateral Commission. And I have to say, they were not after the government for the sake of being part of the government. But what they did was they took over the economic engine of the world.
You're right.
You see?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They took over all the important mechanisms. They took over the U.S. Trade Representative position. They appointed World Bank presidents. They wrote treaties and made treaties and stuff that subverted our sovereignty to the world stage for the sake of economic development. It's all about the economy. But
right.
they got their hands, they jumped into the freight train of economic progress, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They got their nasty little hands on the throttle and took it over.
And now, when at the beginning of the program, you said that China, that was a country that would own the specifically
5G.
What did you say? 5G.
The development of 5G
and
the implementation of it, yeah.
And you're right, because I was in China in 2007, mm-hmm. and I remember going down the freeway, not freeway, freeway is a word from California, going down the highway, the tollway, and seeing Motorola signs and all these companies that were producing here in just in this area alone. And when I went to China in 2007, I was amazed at all of these American companies that had a huge presence in China, and it was mainly because of Jimmy Carter and what he was doing. Now, he was president from 77 to, 81.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting in place this economic system with the help of Brzezinski and all these other traitors.
Yes. That's exactly right. They were the ones that invented free trade, for instance. The whole doctrine of free trade
right.
came out of them. And it's interesting to note that Carter gave away the Panama Canal, patently yes. illegal and unconstitutional to do so. He gave it away to Panama.
Right.
Now, I ask, since that was our sovereign property, by the way, just as sure as Arizona or New Mexico or Texas is American property, the Panama Canal was American soil. And Jimmy Carter gave it away. He gave it back to Panama. Now, I ask you, today, who owns the Panama Canal?
Yes,
well,
who does
China. China. China bought it lock, stock, and barrel from Panama. Not only that, they also bought the islands on both sides of the Panama Canal where all of the trade, all of the rearranging of the containers on the ships takes place. I forget what they call
right.
that kind of a plant, but they have huge docking facilities where they reshuffle the containers between ships and so on. They have
right.
storage places for it, whatever. But it's like a network depot for a train, you know,
right.
on the soil, and they own all those islands on both sides, and they manage all those facilities, and they also manage the Panama Canal. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. You see, this can't be by coincidence, this kind of stuff.
Oh, of course not.
The grand picture is Jimmy Carter did things, fundamental structural things, that have spoiled America for the next 40 years of our existence.
And it was followed up by Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, who was a trilateral member.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed things into law, and they just followed the same pattern.
Totally, same pattern. It was George W. Bush that did the initial signing on the Agenda 21 treaty, or not a treaty, but agreement. And then it was picked up immediately during a transition by Bill Clinton and Al Gore. Both Clinton and Gore were also members of the Trilateral Commission.
Right.
So they picked up the NAFTA treaty, which,
right.
as Ross Perot said, if we implement NAFTA, some oldies will remember this, if we implement NAFTA, you're going to hear that giant sucking sound going south.
Right.
How right was he?
Perfectly, yes.
He's perfectly yes. right. That's all we've heard ever since.
Right.
And even now that President Trump has supposedly renegotiated NAFTA, after looking at it myself and scratching my head, it hasn't really changed one iota. They basically just put a little talcum powder on it, changed the name, and it's the same stuff.
Right. And how are people who have established big plants elsewhere, they're not going to come back?
No, not for that reason, for sure.
No. No, just because he signed some papers and said we're going to get rid of, no, it's just not going to happen. It made people feel good that he's saying these things, but so did all the other politicians say things that made people feel good.
They did.
That's
they
what
did.
They do.
There's an old statement from the 80s that is very appropriate, I suppose, today. Trust but verify.
Right.
Okay. You can trust somebody up to a point, but you need to verify what they say and find out if they're really blowing smoke at you or not.
Sure. And
there's a lot of smoke right now. That's all I can say.
Sure. and there really doesn't seem to be any difference between the Republicans and the Democrats because Clinton picked up from George H.W. Bush and with the NAFTA. They worked on NAFTA together.
They're
pals.
That's exactly right. And you know the author of the NAFTA treaty, the negotiator, the American negotiator that was the principal author of NAFTA, her name was Charlene I can't put her last name into my mind. Shame on me. I have a memory short on that one. But she was also a member of the Trilateral Commission.
Oh.
And she was the U.S. Trade Representative for the United States. And she's been credited over the years as the principal architect of the original NAFTA agreement, a member of the Trilateral Commission. So here you had a little cluster of commission members, the author of the agreement, the president who signed it, initialed it as a photo op, and then Clinton and Gore, who brought it in and completely embedded it in American political system.
Right.
All members of the Trilateral Commission.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, these people are still there. They're still out there even now. They haven't gone. They surrounded Obama, even though Obama was not a member.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's entire national intelligence operation was dominated by members of the Trilateral Commission. So they haven't gone away. They're, you know, still out there, and they're still pushing forward the sustainable development world,
mm-hmm.
the green economy, if you will. And it has nothing to do with whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Absolutely nothing. That's
right.
Just for our benefit, so we can fight and argue with each other while they get away with murder.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And Richard Nixon, he commissioned Kissinger to compile a National Security Council population policy, which we talked about population in conjunction with Roe v. Wade. So you see all these things happened around the same time and shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, we look at technocracy today. The reason I still call it technocracy versus just sustainable development, they're equivalent to me. But the reason I call this technocracy is because that's what it is historically. And I think we need to stick to the original terminology because that's where the original doctrine was formed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is everything that we're seeing today, sustainable development. was all about grabbing the resources of the world and taking them away from you and I and putting them into what they call a global common trust for the benefit of mankind. Of course, we put that in quotes, for the benefit of mankind. You know, it's like all the oil field or gas fields out in the Gulf of Mexico. It's a good example. If you want to drill a well out there, say you're BP, and you want to drill a well, well, you go to the United States government, and you have to buy a lease. You have to get a leasing permit to put that well in, because you don't own it. You don't own that ground, and you can't stick your little thing down in the ground unless you have a permit and pay big dollars to the United States of America. That's the way it is around the world, all countries that own that kind of stuff. So, just imagine that on a global scale where some organization owns all of the resources, all the key resources of the world. And now here comes you and I. We decided we want to build some kind of a factory, and we need some rare earth materials or something, you know, maybe some silver or whatever to go in it. And so we want to go out, and we want to open a mine or we want to cut some timber or we want to do something with the land that, you know, that requires resources, right? Because you can't have an economic activity without resources on the input.
Right.
So we go to apply for a permit, just you and me, an XYZ company, whatever. They tell us to take a flying leap.
Right.
And say,
exactly.
You know, who are you? We don't know you. But
yes.
If BP comes along, or an IBM or whatever it might be, you know, comes along and says, we want a permit to do such and such and this and that. Sure, you can do it because you're part of the club.
Right.
You know, the rest of us are going to get hosed. And private property has been what has made America great as opposed to all other nations in the world. The right to own and enjoy property and to develop property is what's made America great. And when you take property rights away from the world by taking their property away, the world is sunk into it. It's going back to the Dark Ages. It's going back to, you know, to the feudalistic system, where you owned everything and the rest of us were basically squatters.
Right.
And along with that, I would ask the question, why does the United States government need to own 300 billion acres of American soil.
Exactly.
Or 1 million acres. Why do they need to own this? Almost 30% of the land mass of the United States is owned by the U.S. government. This proves my point. That, yeah, they don't.
Right.
That's not theirs. They say, well, we own it. We hold it for the American people. No, they don't.
They hold it for the corporations that they're working with.
I know. Exactly.
Right.
People, the companies that get permits to go out and do stuff on that national ground, you and I will never qualify, but the big companies will, the wirehouses of the world, et cetera, will.
Wow. Okay, we will be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
All righty, we are back, and our guest is Patrick M. Wood. His website is technocracy.news, and we do have some callers. We have Sebastian in Sweden. He's been hanging on for quite a while. Sebastian, real quick, because we're running out of time.
Yeah, okay. Hello, Diana. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, probably. I'm calling from Sweden. I would just like to ask you and your guest a question. What is your favorite president in your lifetime? Now, I was born during Harry Truman. My favorite is John F. Kennedy, I think. And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Okay. All righty. You're welcome.
Wow. That's good. Interesting question. I don't have a favorite president, honestly.
I don't either.
I mean, anymore when I vote, we used to joke about voting for the lesser of two evils.
Right.
Today, my cynical view of politics now is I vote for the lesser of two weasels.
Yes. Yes.
But I don't know. I just don't have a favorite president. I wish I did, but I don't.
Yeah, you wish you had somebody you could look to and say, wow, didn't they do a lot of good for the country?
I know. I can't.
That's a very sad state of affairs. And then, of course, Obama, when he was in, he put through the Affordable Health Care Act, which also does a lot of damage.
Oh, yes.
When it's presented as something, oh, this is wonderful, this is going to be so wonderful for the nation. No, it isn't. It's going to be wonderful for the insurance companies and for Big Pharma, but it's really not going to help the population all that much. And it's going to cost you. You're going to have to pay for something that you didn't want. It's going to make it mandatory that you buy something that you don't really want to buy. Mm-hmm. How is that? I don't know.
Well, I know. And 5G will force you to use something you don't want to use.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Well, Pat, thanks so much for cheering us up. It's been really great.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's not my intent to make, to be a downer. But
no.
I am hopeful that Americans are able to reject technocracy again. They did in the 1940s, very pointedly. And I believe that the American people, once they understand what it is, why it is, and how it is, they will reject it again. So this is part of getting the word out so that people can understand that technocracy is a horse of a different color. It's
right.
Not socialism. It's not communism. It's not fascism. It's different. And people just need to understand why and how it's different.
Right.
And if you want to know how radical it is, just go and read the Green New Deal document, and you'll find out just how radical technocracy really is. It's much worse than even communism could ever be.
I'm sure you're right. Absolutely. And we do need to, I'm typing this in, the Green New Deal. We really do need to oppose it. And it's people like you who are educating us so that we know what is coming, what is already here, so that we can raise our hands against it. So thank you very much, Pat, for being on the program. And let's not wait another 8 years. Let's do this again real soon.
That's great. Thanks, Deanna, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And
bye-bye.
Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.